heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, author of Lipstick Football, known as Coach D, Diana Wayman.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, singer, songwriter, Kim Margolis. I am Mark Lejeune. And now, our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Decidedly, I'm excited about every show and every conversation we have. Of course, we get to pick the conversations we have for the most part, and I'm involved in that process, and I'm looking forward to learning and having conversations and sharing what our guests have to share. It's interesting that for the first time, I was looking to categorize why this conversation felt like it was going to be different. And I've had conversations like this before, but I've never really categorized it. So today I wanted to categorize it. And this is, I'm still working on it, but this is what I've come up with. You know how there are people that just talk, and but it, what they, you know, they do, they don't do what they say they do, or what they talk about. And so there's a phrase that's come up that we use, that people, we like people that walk the talk. And so that means that if someone's talking about something like, you know, you should, that they actually strive to do that as well. So walk the talk is, I like that idea. However, when it came to our guest, I thought walk the talk wasn't enough. Like, decidedly, I felt like she walked the talk. I thought she was doing something different that a lot of people don't do who walk the talk. She also, I felt, talks the walk. Now, I've never heard that before, and I've never thought of that before, but this is why I thought of that. I thought, Diana is sharing with us, she's talking about things that she has walked over and over again over years, and proven certain things and tested certain things, experimented with certain things, and now she's talking while she's still walking the talk with the things that she's embarking upon now. But today, I think you'll get a sense what I was feeling when I got to talk to Diana, that she was talking from the walk. She was talking the walk. And I want to put that out there because I think there's something there and something I want to make sure that I live up to as well. So that to me was a great aha. Ha, Mark?
I think it's perfect because I was reflecting on the fact that you've been talking the walk for quite some time.
Well, thank you. And are you going to say that I... Oh, you said I was talking the walk. Oh, thank you. I'm mixing myself
We're
up.
We're a live
here.
Show. Otherwise, I'd rewind and start over again.
I hear you. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. It's going to be an interesting conversation. And I think she's got a unique way of getting to the listeners and really focusing in.
Absolutely. So, and that's, I think, because of everything that we've talked about and are going to be talking about. She's a football player. She's a manager. She's a lifelong fan of the game. She's an author. She's a coach. Actually, she's so much more, and that's part of the conversation. Welcome to the show, Diana Wynand.
Hello, Filippo. I'm going to have to fight you for that talks the walk. That's really good. I have not heard that before, but I love that. So
thank you for inspiring it.
I totally get that.
And no, you would win if we had to fight. So, you know, there must be another way. Well, this is kind of it. I was inspired by your and my conversation and all that I have learned about you through the work that you've done and the book that you've written, Lipstick Football. Over 20 books that you've written, and the fact that you sail, and the fact that you, so where did this all start? Like, were you a little girl and said, I'm going to do everything I can in the world?
Well, I think I probably was a little bit of a tomboy. So I did enjoy sports. Sports was important. My father coached Little League. My brother played. I got to catch for practices. And then that turned into street football and then playing sports in school. So and along the way, I became a musician. I was in the marching band. And what did that do? That put me on a football field, right? So there I was, connected back to football, and played in high school and college. I was at UT Longhorn Band, Hook 'em Horns, everybody. So it just seemed like I was always around the sport. And then eventually I got to actually play. So, but I was always an observer too, in terms of playing. I love how sports brings out our action-oriented selves. And I talk about that in my book. But I was also an observer of life. I think as the youngest of three kids, nobody wanted to know what I thought. So I sat back and just observed everybody and started to make sense of what I was seeing. So I think that fed into my writing from a very young age.
And you write about the film industry or editing and TV production, right? Also?
Yeah, the 20 books you mentioned were mostly how-to books, Apple certified training courses, and how video works, and video blogging, and various topics in the video field. And then, you know, over the past 10 years, started my doing more creative writing, which was really something I loved more, expressing feelings, making stories of experiences and memories. So that has sort of led to where I am now.
So I'm trying to wrap my arms around. So these are very seemingly disparate fields. That one of them has nothing to do with the other. And yet it seems like they all are you. Like you didn't say, oh, I'm going to do something that is so left field. But you go into it, and then you succeed at it, and then you share it with others. There's something there that seems part of a whole that most people don't put together.
Well, Filippo, I think this goes back to what you said in the introduction, talking the walk. And I've never thought about it that way. But in fact, that's really what I've been doing. As I said, I was an observer of life. But what I did in my career was I had to break things down into baby steps. I had to, what I like to term the term, crack the marble. I had to observe. I had to figure out how something worked. And then I had to turn around and teach it to other people. I had a film and television training business, and that's exactly what I did. I taught and empowered people how to use the tools in the industry to express themselves. And then I took that crack the marble skill that I developed and applied it to other things. And it found its way into my recent book, Lipstick Football, which is exactly what I did. I had an experience playing football. Was life-changing. And I thought, why was that life-changing? What did that do? What did I get from it? And I just think those reflections are so important. And in thinking about it, I applied my breaking down skills, or crack the marble skills, and I figured something out about it. Something, as you mentioned, something that I felt was important to share.
You're recalibrating some things for me, because cracking the marble is what I had done on the football field a couple of times.
So when, so the whole, and the timeline thing, because somebody joining a professional women's football team today, or a woman joining a team today, it is different from when you joined. And yes. What's interesting to me is you shared with me a little bit about the history of how, what was it, Title IX or something was 50 mm-hmm. years ago. But so tell us a little bit about that and when you joined.
Well, you're right. Football and women's involvement in the game, even at the NFL level, has changed rapidly over the past few years. We have NFL assistant coaches that are female. We have a couple of NFL officials, which is fun. They still wear the zebra striped shirts, but you see a ponytail coming out of their baseball hat when they're on the field. When I played, it was sort of I don't know if oppression is the right word. It was a forbidden sport. If you in any high school at the time, even with Title IX, which was supposed to allow fair involvement, for gals and guys, but there was never a football team for girls, and like there was with a volleyball team or basketball or baseball even. So it was that forbidden sport. Like, women were not allowed into it. When I got involved, I really felt, you look around the field when we stepped on for tryouts, I looked around and I really felt like I was part of making history. We were there doing something that had not been allowed for so many years. And it was just a real, it was very impactful to be there and to do that, and to know that, we were there because we loved playing football, but to know that underlying, importance and impact of us being there was just terrific.
So what did you take away for yourself from the experience? Because you said it was life-changing. And then what is it that you felt others needed to know that they wouldn't know unless you shared it, somebody that had that experience? What was that?
We could probably be here all night with that one, so I'll try to be selective. One thing, I'll start sort of from the surface and go in, but one thing was that I realized that men speak differently about the sport than women do. And that's, I call that football DNA. Guys grow up, when they're three, they're handed a football and they're taught to play pitch and catch, and they and girls don't have that experience. I remember a time stepping into an elevator on a Super Bowl weekend. I saw a fellow wearing a Green Bay hat, and I said, so what happened to Green Bay in the third quarter last week? I thought that was a pretty cool question to ask, right? And he said, well, they failed to adjust. The defense failed to adjust. And I said, well, what do you mean they failed to adjust? And he got frustrated with me. And he said, well, they just failed to adjust. And then another guy came on the elevator and they started chatting away. And that was such a profound moment. I thought, oh my gosh, he doesn't have the ability to break it down any further. And of course, that was the skill I'd been developing. But I really saw that there are two languages around the game. There's a 3D. Guys see the game in 3D and they speak about it that way. And the rest of us see it in 2D, and we need to slow it down or mute the sound in order to perhaps enjoy it or appreciate it a little bit more. So that's one thing I learned, is that there really is a disconnect or a gap between those who know the game or inside it, and maybe Mark, you could relate to this, I don't know, and those who don't. And if they don't, there's a distance, they're distanced from it. If the game is on, well, forget about, connecting with the folks in the room. But on a more serious level, I think what I got was the concept of holding the line. I remember in high school, we would have a chant, hold that line, hold that line. I mean, what does that even mean? Well, the line they're talking about is the line of scrimmage. In football, this is an imaginary line. The ball is sitting on it, and the offense is on one side and the defense is on the other. And you take the ball, which I like to think is a metaphor for your dream. You push it through the defensive forces. So the way you do that in football is you have to use your body. You have to be in your body and really hold the line for what you want. You have to stand your ground, stand your position. And to me, this is just really an important thing for women to have some sort of positive experience and framework for. And football, I think it certainly gave me that. And then when I suited up with the protective gear, not so much the uniform, but the protective gear, shoulder pads, padded pants, the mouth guard. When I suited up in that protective gear and went out onto the field, I felt tough. I felt capable. I felt like I could stand there and fight anyone off should I need to. And that strength filled me up inside. It became an inner strength. It became an inner knowing. And that no matter what I might be facing at my own personal line of scrimmage, that I could face it and I could be strong and I could stand up to it.
Wow. So when you apply these aspects to life, do you think they apply to every aspect of our life? Can these could these apply to relationships? Could it apply to our jobs? Could, you know where I'm getting at, our schooling, etc.?
Yeah, I believe they do. And that's the Lipstick Football method, working the principles into life, I think are really helpful because any aspect of life can be improved if you're going into it with a certain mindset, with a certain skill set, and especially with a set of principles to sort of act like bumper lanes to keep you on the, you know, on the path that you want to be on. So absolutely, I think all of this, and that's what I try to get across in my book, even though I use football as a frame for a life journey, I'm really talking about how to take this off the field and into your life. And you don't have to.
I think it's great because listen to these examples. I'm recalling, you know, I've been blitzed on. I've certainly had my dreams intercepted. I've definitely been sacked.
There you go. See?
I've certainly fumbled a few times.
Exactly. Exactly. And the cool thing about football, I mean, you might say, well, why football? You know, there are other sports, but, you know, look at the sports. Baseball, you like run around in a circle on the bases. Basketball, you're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, football is linear. You start on one end of the field and you move forward in small increments to the other. And you don't have to make it in one move. You do it in segments and you get four tries to just go a certain part, just to go 10 yards. So, and each of those tries is called a down. When you use the football as a metaphor for your dream and you think about taking it onto the field, giving it legs, and starting the process of moving it into the end zone to score metaphorically, the game has everything you need to support you getting downfield. And so, you know, Mark, you just stepped into it so easily there. You had all the references. It was perfect.
I like it. I like it. And so we're going to dive deeper into some of what you share in Lipstick Football in the book we're talking about, but it's more than that. It is also a way of breaking through limitations with her new goal-busting mashup for football and life. So we'll come back with more of Diana Wynand, and again, the book Lipstick Football. If you're interested in looking it up right now, you could go to lipstickfootball.com, and we'll also share how else you could reach and find out more about Diana in a little bit. A little later on, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and then we will be joined by our performance guest, who will be performing live here on the Life Changes Show, Kim Margolis, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our guest is Diana Wynand. And she's a football player, manager, lifelong fan of the game, a coach, and author of Lipstick Football, among other things. And that's what we're talking about right now. Lipstick Football, 8 game-changing principles to bust through limitations and achieve the impossible while learning the game of football. Now, Diana, I, as sometimes happens, was perusing the book and I saw, oh, we could subscribe to the Lipstick Football League and download, and now here's my question, the I love you butt exercise. What's that?
I love that you picked that up. Well, the Lipstick is an acronym for 8 principles that I took from the game. So the C in the word lipstick represents the principle condition. And condition is, you know, like I love Aristotle's quote, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. And so I introduced the concept of the action evolution, which you guys, I'm sure you're familiar with and your listeners as well, where you, you know, something may start as a feeling and then turn into a thought. Then you express it with words. It becomes a belief. And then it turns into an action. So if you don't like an action, it generally started earlier in the process than that immediate moment. So if you take the example of I love you, but, and you think about the power of words, you know, you're saying one thing, I love you, but I love you. And then when you hear the but, it turns everything you just said around. It's sort of like putting a different engine on the other end of the train. So that's just an example of how you can observe your words, make conscious choices about the words you're using. So the exercise itself guides you to write a statement. It might be, I love you, but you know, you're really messy and that bothers me a lot. So the exercise thinks about what you love and how you might be canceling out your manifestation of that. You're bringing that into reality by putting that word but on it. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be a relationship. I want this, but I can't have that because blah, blah, blah. So anything that you put out that you want and find yourself following with the word but, you need to look at. You need to examine, and you need to swap out the word but for, let's say, and. I want that, and I'm going to do everything in my power to get it. Then you're not fighting with the universe. Then you're not fighting with the, you know, push-pull with the two engines on the same train going in different directions kind of feeling. But it's those kinds of discrepancies or competitive nature in our feelings that turn into confusion in our beliefs. And then our actions don't align with what we really want. Mm. Does that help? Does that explain it?
Oh, yeah.
Does it make sense? Okay.
Oh, good. Yeah. So yeah. Clever. So the principle of lipstick football, LIPSTICK, you've got leap, immerse, play, shine, track, initiate, condition, and kick. So this is very clever in how you break it all down. So we've already talked about the C. Is there another one we can talk about real quick?
Yes. I like to dive into the first I principle. And by the way, you know, the principles break down to sort of target two things, dreams and goals. If you're a creative person, you might think, okay, we have to create and then you produce. So the principles break down into lips and tick. And the first question is always about the dream aspect is, what do you want? Why do you want it? And the first four principles, leap, immerse, play, and shine, help you get into that zone and really clarify what you want. And then the second four principles, track, initiate, condition, and kick, will help you figure out how to get it. That's when you really sort of put the timer on, make your to-do list, and really track progress on how you're getting from one end of the playing field to the other. But in the lips set, in the dreams portion of the principles, I like to zero in on I for immerse. And I had a wonderful experience. I love hummingbirds, and I learned a lot of things about hummingbirds and their how fast their heart beats and their wings beat. And then I had a friend who said, I said, hey, where can I get a good hummingbird feeder? She said, well, come over and let me show you mine. And I was impatient and it was like, well, just send me a link so I can just go and buy it. And she said, no, come over. She came over and she started covering her primary feeder. She handed me a hand feeder. Before I knew it, hummingbirds were feeding out of my hand. And you know, immersion is two things. It's knowledge and it's experience. And so, you know, I can look online and Google hummingbirds all day long, but sitting down and having them drink from this tiny little fountain in my hand was a whole other way of immersing. And so I like to connect the immerse principle with football protective gear. You know, there's a great saying, clothes make it the man. Have you heard of that? Or dress to the nines. Mm-hmm. You know, there actually was a study done at Northwestern University where they did a test, and they put they had people perform the same activities, but one group wore a white lab coat, and the group that wore a white lab coat performed better in the tests. So by immersing ourselves even in an outfit, we project a different energy, we project a certain confidence. And this goes back to what I was saying about my experience playing the game, that when I put on that gear, I was different. I was more than what I thought I was. I was more confident, I was stronger, and I was part of a team looking left and right of people who were in there with me doing something similar. So the immersion thing, I mean, I had a recent experience. I worked with climate science, and I was on a global panel that Al Gore led, and I had to speak on climate science. That's not my forte, but what did I do? I immersed. So when you're feeling fearful about something, when you're feeling or thinking those things of like, I'll never be able to do it, or I'm not good enough, or I don't know what to do, or I don't know how to do it, that's when you exercise that second principle. You immerse, whether it's gaining more knowledge or putting yourself in a position of experiencing something. Go find a mentor if you need to. I mean, gosh, you guys do such amazing work. I would be surprised if people weren't knocking at your door saying, hey, I'd love to work with you, or just get close and observe what you do. The immersion principle to immerse is very special, as they all are to me. So
speaking, thank you for those kind words too. But yes. Also, I was thinking that speaking of immersion, you know, I think what's pretty profound here is that you don't even have to know the game of football. With the analogies that you use, the acronyms and the steps, once you're watching the game, you can actually start to apply it back to all the teachings and actually get a better sense on what you're talking about from a real world, you know, position through actually starting to learn the game.
Right. Mark, I'm really glad you said that, because I don't want people to think that they have to like the game, know the game, be a big fan of the game. I'm really not suggesting that. As you said, and again, thank you for contributing that, I'm just trying to teach enough football so that you can use it as a reference to boost your own, to use as a motivation to support your journey, to boost your enthusiasm. When I watch a game and I see the effort, particularly like a wide receiver might jump up or leap up. I think of Baryshnikov, the ballet dancer. The effort that is used, that I can see in each play, is just so inspiring to me. It makes me want to do that in my own life. And that's part of something that sports in general, and I'm focusing on football, but sports in general does that for us. You know, in sports, I remember there was a long time ago, there was an Olympic game, and Al Michaels said, this was a soccer game, Al Michaels said, do you believe in miracles? And everybody says, yes. You know, that's what sports gives us. Sports allows us to believe in miracles. You almost expect a miracle to be pulled out of a hat at the end of a close game. In life, you know, our beliefs get kicked around. We don't so much believe in miracles. And that's part of what I'm trying to do by associating the game with the life journey. It's like, no, you can pull off some miracles here. And this is how you do it.
So speaking of miracles, let's see if I could apply this to a real world example. It's kind of like our good friend Miles Berkowitz bringing the ball down with two tippy toes in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown by introducing us to you.
Ah, that's sweet. That's nice. Sweet. And yeah, Miles is terrific. I know we're all big fans.
Well, Obviously, we are now a fan of yours, Diana, and there's so much more that we would love to speak with you about. However, we are coming up to the last couple minutes of our time together, at least this time around. And I know that you know a few fun facts about the game that even football fanatics don't know. So I'm wondering if you could give us a couple of those in the time that we have left together.
Sure, sure. Well, I'm going to pose this to Mark to see if he can get this one. Mark, you watch different games. Why do some footballs have a white ring around the ends?
I thought that's collegiate versus NFL.
It is, but do you know why?
Apparently, I don't remember.
Ah, okay.
I'm sure I did at one point.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. No, that's fine.
Yeah, now I'm curious again. I'm not recalling.
Okay, so when colleges played, they played a lot of night games, and the white ring around the end helped them see the ball coming at them a little easier. But at the time, NFL games weren't played at night. And so they were like, well, we don't need that because we don't play games at night. So they decided not to add the white ring. So it was just a simple matter of the college games being played at night, and NFL games at the time were not. So,
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, you learn something every day.
Right, right. If we have time for one more, where did the word down come from? In football, you have four tries or four downs to take the ball 10 yards, and then you get another set of four downs. Anybody know where that came from?
I don't.
Okay. Oh, good. This is great. This is great. This is why people need to buy my book, because these are the fun facts you can add when you're when you're walking through a room with the game on.
Things you didn't know you'd learn from Lipstick Football by Diana Wynand. Go on.
Right, right, right. So the word down in the late 1800s, the game was taken from soccer. American football was sort of a derivative of soccer and rugby. And you know, soccer, the ball never stops. It's back and forth. It's all over the place. And a man named Walter Camp said, you know what? Why don't, in this new game we're making up here, why don't we allow the play to end, set the ball down, give players a little time to recoup, and then get back at it. So the simple concept and the new rule to set the ball down is where we got the term downs.
Wow.
And so there's four. And one quick one that, you know, on each team, there will be one player who will have a green dot on the back of their helmet. And that green dot means that they have an audio system in their ear. You might see a player put their hand up to their ear. They're listening to a coach on the sideline call in a play, and they are listening to that. After 25 seconds, that audio feed gets cut off, and then the players have 15 more seconds to get to the line of scrimmage and initiate their play. So look for the green dot, generally on the back of the quarterback or one of the defensive members.
Wow. Thank you for that. And look for Lipstick Football by Diana Wynand. And you can find it at lipstickfootball.com. And of course, where books are sold. And here's a surprise. You could go to dianawynand.com. And there you will also find music. I'm going to spell Wynand for you. Weynand. DianaWynand.com. Diana, what a pleasure. Great to get to know you, and looking forward to connecting more someday soon.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
How wonderful. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Martha in Kansas. You have helped me in the past, and I really need help now. I'm having physical challenges and cannot get an appointment with a doctor until March. I believe that my pain and discomfort is due to the Lyme disease I had years ago. I've been told by my chiropractor that it attacks the spine, and that is where I am being challenged at this time. I have been consistently praying and begging for divine intervention and getting me into a doctor, and it has not worked. Please advise me as to how I can make the doctor see me now so I can get the help I need.
Martha, you are one of many who have told me that they cannot get in to see their doctor for months. While waiting for an appointment, you might want to explore natural remedies for healing Lyme disease. There are many sites on the internet that offer help with this. One of the most comprehensive sites I found is LymeDisease.org. Search the site for natural remedies, and you may find solutions to your healing. Searching for natural remedies is the method I use for healing myself, and I've been very successful in doing so. As to how to get the doctor to see you now, I have learned from personal experience that the prayers that work are prayers of gratitude and not prayers where we beg for help. A simple prayer you might wish to explore is this: thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for assisting me and getting an appointment with the doctor now. Another prayer could be this: thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for my perfect health. I trust that this new way of prayer will assist you as much as it assists me, and look forward to an update from you.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Kim Margolis, right after this on the Life Changes Show.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back, and I'm excited to introduce our performance guest, who is a singer, songwriter, and producer from London, England, and that's significant for a particular reason. First, let's welcome Kim Margolis to the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Kim.
Hello there.
It's great to have you with us. And speaking of good friends, we're grateful to Raspin Stewart for introducing you to us and the show.
Absolutely.
And so, London, England, you started music very early, like in the professional side of the house, at 16 years old, right?
Yeah, I did, yes.
And so you started telling me some interesting stories that I wasn't expecting to hear. So you worked for a guy, you worked with a guy named Reggie Dwight and another guy named Stephen Dimitri Georgiou?
Stephen Demetrius, yes.
Okay, so tell us why those names are important to us.
Well, people don't know, Reg Dwight is Elton John and Steve Demetrius is Cat Stevens. And I had some brief encounters with them when I was about 18. Actually, I was 18 years old. I left school when I was about 16 and went to work for Dick James Music, who had an office on New Oxford Street, which was above my father's furniture shop. And my father got me a job as a tape operator, studio engineer, which is what I wanted to do when I left school. And I ended up being in the studio assistant and tape operator, which didn't really mean much. They used to call me button pusher, basically, because it was a four track and there was no remotes in those days. So I would sit there at the machine and push the buttons. And Reggie used to come in and do his demos there. And in fact, I was there the day when he came in and said, "I'm going to call myself Elton John."
Wow.
And then I hung out with him. I mean, we used to go to, there was a club called Rasputin in London, and they used to have music at night. And the band that he used to play with, Long John Baldry, where actually, if you listen to Long John Baldry, you'll see a lot of influence there. He was playing that night. So we all went down there from the studio. It was a session, and we were disco dancing and having a fun time. Yeah, that was a mad time in my life. I was 18.
Wow. Well, did you want to make your own music before that, or were you inspired in the process of working with these other people?
Well, I really wanted to get into production, and first I thought the way to do that was through engineering, sound engineering, so that was my goal. But I've always been playing since I was about 11, since I saw the Beatles and maybe heard Paul Simon. I think those guys inspired me to pick up a guitar and start playing.
Wait, I'm trying to look at my notes real quick. Didn't you meet like George Harrison or something?
I did meet George Harrison. That was probably in 1974 on Hollywood Sunset Strip. I was at a Ravi Shankar concert, and I had a friend who was playing tabora, and she invited me up into the guest area after in the bar upstairs after the show, and there sitting there was Ravi Shankar and George Harrison, his wife Olivia, and we had drinks together and chatted for a while.
Wow. Okay, enough about everybody else's music, your music. But that's very interesting, and not very many people can tell those kinds of stories.
No, I know. I've been around some celebrities, yeah.
Well, you not very many people can share also the kinds of stories through music that you like to share, whether they're stories or inspiration or words of love or peace. And I have to think, I know you spent some time with hippies or as a hippie or something like that, and that seemed to be what was talked about back then and what was sung about. Is it important to you that, are you continuing this, or you're saying, what are you saying about music about that? Like, do we have to have it? Do we need it? Why are you here doing it?
Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to make clear that, you know, the hippies have got a really bad name now. People think they're smelly old, you know, people living by the side of the road. But actually, it was a beautiful time. There were flower people. There were people into love, into peace, into sharing, into caring, into kindness. And I think that's something that really needs to come back into this world today. It seems like we're losing that. It just seems like people are getting into this more and more into the I, me, mine concept, and greed has taken over. And I feel like that feeling needs to come back into society, into civilization. Otherwise, I think we're doomed. And at that time, I was very much into that and helping people find themselves, you know, find that love within them.
Well, it sounds like you're very much into it now. And I think, are we going to get to experience that in one of your songs right now?
I think you will, yeah.
What song are you going to share with us live here on the Life Changes Show?
This song is called Love Must Find a Way.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there it is. Spelling it right out. Love must find a way. Here is Kim Margolis live on the Life Changes Show. Kim Margolis, thank you for sharing that. Love's Gotta Find a Way, indeed. KimMargolis.com is where you can find out more about Kim, KimMargolis.com. Kim, so I know you left the music industry or business. It's interesting to me because it is a business, and it's sad to me, being a performer myself and having experienced some of what you shared in a previous conversation, people get caught hurt in that business.
Absolutely.
When they're trying to make beautiful music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that's why I left it, because it's really a lot of backstabbing going on and people trying to get ahead of each other. It was too competitive, and I didn't like the vibe at all. That's why I dropped out.
Music is used so much in the world today. It almost seems like there's a place for everybody in some way, and everybody has something to share. So glad you kept the music going and are sharing it now as you are.
Thanks a lot.
So what do we get to hear next?
Oh, I've got a little song. This is off of my album called The Tide, and it's called Rags to Riches.
Okay. Well, here's Rags to Riches by Kim Margolis on The Life Changer Show.
Thank you. Once upon a time, wise man said, surely reap what you sow.
So sow the seeds of a life well spent, rags to riches to bone. Once upon a time, wise man said, all that glitters ain't gold. You can spend all your time trying to make it big, rags to riches to bone. Rags to riches to bones. Well, I know that some of us will never be rich. That's just the way it goes. But there's an endless treasure and it lies within. Rags to riches to bones. Once upon a time, wise man said, it's always better to know. You can look to the east, you can look to the west, there ain't no place like home. There's no place better than home. Rags to riches to bone. Said, always reap what you sow. So sow the seeds of a life well spent, rags to riches to bones. Rags to riches to bones. To bones.
Margolis. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Filippo.
Thank you. What a pleasure. Wow, your music really, really speaks to us. So appreciate that. Kim Margolis, KimMargolis.com. Go and learn more about Kim and his music. Thank you for being with us tonight. This was such a perfect show for you to be on, Kim.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. And again, with a thank you to Kim Margolis and a thank you to our guest, Diana Winand, also known as Coach D. That's our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.